This is the Big Imposter Syndrome episode. We are going to talk about the 10 ways that we trick our brains into feeling unworthy.
Imposter syndrome is quite a common thing for neurodivergence. Does it resonate with you?
Across every single area of life. Common with neurodivergence, people that are late diagnosed and are wonderful late bloomers, feeling that we're frauds, fakes, out of place.
Well, on that note, for those that don't know what imposter syndrome is, do you want to just quickly tell them?
It's basically feeling like you're a fraud in your own life. And very often it's in like your passion area.
Yeah, okay.
Which is so sad. Yeah. So I know that we're going to have loads of listeners that want to run Etsy businesses, be writers, become singers, other things, start businesses, be parents for the first time, and they're going to be beating themselves up. So we are coming to beat the imposter syndrome back down.
Welcome to Late Bloomers, where we are getting our lives together.
Eventually.
I think, so although I reckon the majority of these examples are going to be about you and neurodivergent world with imposter syndrome, I'd like to share, because I don't think that I suffer with it much, but there was a situation where I did.
I think you should lead us off.
Yeah.
When did you have imposter syndrome?
When I was recording the audiobook for Dirty Laundry.
Oh, babe.
I can't even, right? So bearing in mind, I'm an author. And I effectively can't read. That's when we discovered that I can't read. And it was so embarrassing. I had a producer there, obviously telling me every time I made a mistake. By the end of it, like I couldn't even read words like at and the. Like I was sweating and I just felt like a complete fraud. Like, what are you even doing here, Rich? Get back to making silly little comedy videos.
Or get back to the bank even.
Like, yeah.
I remember watching that. And yeah, you don't suffer. You in day-to-day life, you're very confident. You tend to jump into things and don't beat yourself up in the same way that I like to. But that was... I mean, that was brutal to watch.
Well, you to the point you stopped watching it.
I had to walk out of the room because it was, I couldn't do anything. You had to get through it. It was reading our first book, Dirty Laundry. And yeah, you couldn't read it. You couldn't read a sentence. You were stopping, stumbling, red in the face, sweating. And I could tell you were like basically having a panic attack and feeling all 10 shades of imposter syndrome.
The reason why I think it was imposter syndrome rather than a pure inability to read is that the second book, I was fine.
I know.
So it's not
like I
can't...
you were thinking there's a producer, two people record and they expect me to be able to read. But that's when we kind of realised that you were dyslexic and obviously you'd managed to have strategies.
We think I'm dyslexic. We're pretty sure.
I mean, I think having heard that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And me, it's basically, look, me is everything. Like my entire life is an imposter syndrome. So
yeah,
whatever. I guess music is the big one. So I am 41 years old. I have a career in rock music that's began in the last few years. And yeah, I'm probably going to score 10 out of 10 on these things. So let's get into it. These are the 10 ways that we make ourselves feel unworthy, because imposter syndrome isn't just one thing. It's the sense that we're a fake, but all of these other kind of micro behaviors and thoughts go into it, and we are coming for every single one. So I'm going to start us off, starting strong with perfectionism.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the belief that if we do something perfectly, no mistakes, the best it can be, then we're good enough. Then we can feel safe and we can escape imposter syndrome for that moment in time.
So I struggle a bit really like understanding this, right? But bearing in mind, I can only draw on what we've done together.
Yeah.
And like, I see it where if we were like launching Late Bloomers or starting ADHD Love or writing the book, like you really see that everything has to be right. You obsess about the cover design, the branding, everything. And you will obsess. If there's time, you're like, no, we're not doing it. And that that to me is like, can be a good thing.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between perfectionism and striving for excellence.
Mm.
And you need to try and strive in for excellence to use your brain and what powers you may have in this world to bring the best work that you can is a really good thing. When it gets destructive,
yeah.
Remember when I couldn't send the book to the editor because I was like, it's not perfect. Yeah. It's not perfect. It's like, they're the editor. It's not meant to be perfect because they got to edit it. And I was like, it's not perfect. And it was that self-hatred of being seen as not being perfect, of showing something that wasn't finished or wasn't up to this weird standard in my head.
Yeah.
And it got in the way.
I think I had to send the email in the end.
You did,
you
yeah.
were like, no, I'm not doing it. It's not good enough. Yeah. It's not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. If something's moving you forward in an inspired way, that's striving for excellence. If something is causing rumination, self-criticism, refusal to engage in the work, that's where it's
okay, that makes sense. So had you would like so branding late bloomers, for example, had you been obsessing of it, changing the position of leaves and stuff, and it meant that we just didn't launch the podcast, that would have been getting
like,
in the way.
It's not done. It's not yeah. done.
Okay.
I need to get a designer to do it. I can't find the right one. It's when it stops your work. And
yeah.
I think that affects so many creatives. I work with a lot of songwriters and have done for many, many years. And so many want to have their own artistic projects. I imagine so many of our ADHD listeners have got creative dreams as well. We know ADHDs score so high on creativity, but they won't let themselves do it because
yeah.
it's not perfect. That first painting, that first poem, that first song, you don't put it out there because it's not perfect.
Yep. Makes sense. Strong start.
Strong start. Number two, people pleasing.
Oh yeah.
So people pleasing, huge for ADHD because we've been hated and judged our whole life. So we're like, let's just please the people and then I'm going to be safe. Absolutely messes you up when it comes to work because you can't please everybody and like grow and do your work well.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. I think, you know, looking at you, it's quite funny, right? Because we're probably talking about these where there's, it's fair to say you've seen some growth in quite a lot of these areas over the last few years.
Yes.
And one thing that's funny is, I won't say the word you use, but like if you don't like something or somebody's done something that like works on your team that you don't like, you'll celebrate. You were like, no, I was a bit, I'm going to say harsh. But we sometimes use a stronger word, but that's something to be really proud of. Cause historically you'd have been like, yeah, it's great. And internally thinking, oh my God, it's happened with haircuts with you yeah. as well, hasn't it?
Oh, it's happened with so many things. Let's talk about it in the creative sense. Historically, I would people please tell everyone everything was great. And I loved it because I couldn't upset anyone, a producer, someone working on an artwork, my manager, everything's great. Everything's great. And it wasn't great, but on my, what
yeah,
I wanted,
not
there's
what you
no
wanted.
Right or wrong, whatever. Yeah. But like in that scenario, but I'm stuck in this state of constant self erasure. I don't matter. They all need to feel okay. And you end up with art that you don't like, and then you're not going to put it out. So it's a waste of time. Don't feel good. Plus you get really resentful and that's how you end up not working with people having rows. So be a bit more of a harsh
yeah.
person.
Yeah.
By the way, when I say harsh, I just mean telling the truth very politely.
Well, and I think that's actually important for those that maybe struggle with this and try and do something different or act differently. It's probably quite important not to overcorrect. Like I can probably be too far the other way. And if somebody has tried and it isn't what you want, you don't have to be like, it's rubbish.
No, oh God,
do you know
no.
what I mean?
I mean, no, not at all. Like still be nice. But in order to stop feeling like you're an imposter, you have to start trying to please yourself, your vision, not other people's. Right, you ready for the big number three?
Go on.
Procrastination.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is the type of procrastination that we look at and we're going to say, oh, I'm being lazy. Why am I not doing it? But it is from a place of the fear of being found out. So very often, if you're suffering with imposter syndrome, you will procrastinate because you don't want people to see that you aren't perfect. You aren't going to please everybody. So it's like, and we look at it and we'll be horrible and self-critical and self-judgmental. But if you have been procrastinating on launching that Etsy shop, you know, is it because you're being lazy or is it because you're so scared of it not working or being judged or it not being perfect? And that stops us from taking that next move forward.
I've met, since being with you, I've met loads of people in the creative industry. And I think a good example of this is they've all got the intention to start TikToks, start social media accounts. And so many of them are like, I'll do it later, I'll do it later, I'll do it later. And it just never gets done. And like, for me, it's like, just do it. Post a video then.
That's a huge one. I think whether you run a small business or you want to become an influencer or you want to show off your artwork, social media is the best place to do it. It's free. It's of course not without problems, but it's a great free cesspit of possible friends and people that may like what you're putting out in the world. But people procrastinate. I've got friends who I've been speaking to since 2021. Come and get on TikTok, get on Instagram Reels. And they're constantly making a plan and then not doing it and procrastinating on it. And I don't look at them and think they're lazy. I look at them and think, you're so scared of being seen to try or failing or being judged that you are putting it off and off. And look, at the end of the day, you just got to get in amongst it.
Some of it might be a bit of perfectionism sprinkled in as well. But like social media, if I think about TikTok, for example, or Instagram Reels or whatever platform you use or YouTube Shorts, they're brilliant examples of where it really doesn't have to be perfect to start. Like you look at some of our first videos from an editing point of view, from a camera point of view, they're rubbish.
Yeah, I know. And look, here's the thing. I think we procrastinate because we want it to be perfect. I think that they are so tied together, aren't they? So you procrastinate until you've got the perfect idea. Let's talk about songwriting, for example. I haven't got the right song to launch my project. It's not quite right. It's not quite perfect. Months go by, years go by. You still haven't launched. Here's the thing. The first song I put out in 2021, the has profanity in it. I wouldn't release that now. Because I've changed in those few years and I would do something different now. Your most perfect effort today, you in a year will have grown from. So just do it. Like you're going to grow. You're going to get better on the way. You just have to accept that it may not be perfect. Okay. Number four, this is crazy. This is overachieving.
Right.
And this is, performing constantly for worthiness instead of believing it in your core.
Go on, you're going to have to give me more.
So you only feel good enough when you are number one, the best, setting records, the coolest thing, whatever it is in your industry. You only feel okay when you're at the top. Anywhere but at the top, it then disappears.
And that, I'd imagine, is dangerous for mental health, like tying it to accomplishments and stuff.
I mean, it's so dangerous. And, you know, we see so many famous singers and bands struggle hugely with mental health, and it's so easy to look at them and think, oh, they're massive, they're doing really well, but they're struggling to keep themselves there, to stay relevant, to keep that record deal, to be the next hottest thing.
Well, I suppose that the thing, I don't know if you're going to say this, I don't want to spoil anything, but like, they believe that they have to still live this rock star, or this, like, they believe that's who they are. Yeah. Whereas the reality let's be honest, is like everyone's an imposter.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's born a rock star or a doctor. Everyone's just pretending until they get the attention that they need. Do you know what I mean?
So cynical, but yeah, also true. I love that. Everyone's an imposter. Nobody comes out of the womb an amazing video editor like our wonderful Max or a great golf player like you or a subpar singer like me. We show up over and over again and we get there eventually. But I think this one has... I've always been like massive, big on the old failure, very, very good at failing and quitting. But in the last few years, I have had a bit of success in music and first album went top 10 and in the UK. And I remember feeling on top of the world.
Yeah.
And then when that kind of ran out, I'm like, I felt very unworthy. I was like, I need to do it again or get a top 5. Like, unless you're beating what you've done, you're not real anymore.
Yeah.
So I've still got work to do.
Oh, I know that you have, and I don't want to jump ahead, but one of mine is self-criticism, and you just explained yourself as a subpar singer. Okay, so we'll get, I think we
you can give me a smack bum when we get there. Okay, number 5. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Self-sabotage, which is often subconsciously rejecting success before it can reject you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
This makes sense.
Yeah, it's it might be when you've just started something. You might have just sold your first thing on Etsy. You might have written your first chapter of a book. Maybe you've made your first Instagram reel and it's got a few hundred views. And it's at that point, this feeling... And by the way, when we say... it's subconscious. You will not be aware that it's happening. That's the most brutal thing of self-sabotage. You'll go, I don't think I want it anymore.
Mm.
I don't think it aligns with my life. Actually, this isn't for me. And by the way, we can change direction in life. We can grow, of course. But it's, is it coming from a place of fear?
And also it's almost... in a weird way, you're going towards comfort, right? If you don't believe you belong where you, don't know, on the internet or whatever, and then you go, oh no, it's not for me. There's like a weird sense of comfort that you're right. Like, I didn't believe I was there. I've just proved it to myself. Like, I knew all along that it wasn't for me. So
it's better in a way to feel right and to quit than have the fear of failing.
Mm.
100%. And again, you know, I bring it back to me, but it's very relevant. After the album goes top 10, I do a big sold out tour, doing things I could never, like wildest dreams came true this year. And after that tour, I quite strongly felt like, I don't know if I want to do music anymore.
Mm.
Sorry to any of the 37 Club listening. It's okay. I've almost finished the second album. I'm not quitting anytime soon. But like quite serious, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
And I just wonder whether was that some self-sabotage in me, because I deep down felt like I'll never beat what I've done.
Mm.
So it's better to quit now than fail at the next step.
Yeah. I agree. There's also a bit though, like, of the one before maybe with you, because you, it's quite scary, like, to achieve your dreams as well. Like you, what you achieved in your last tour was probably all you'd ever dreamed of, about.
And more.
And you achieved it. So like aligning yourself with the art, it's like, wow, I've achieved it, but I'm not, what, it doesn't feel.
Well, here's the thing, you achieve your dream and then what?
Yeah.
Are you going to stop or are you going to set a new dream? And then it's like, great, what was?
Yeah.
Right, anyway.
Number 6. I'll take the last 5.
Come on, baby, you can do it.
I can. Unrealistic goals. So setting a goal that is quite clearly unachievable, so you fail.
So you're in a constant state of failure. Do you ever feel like you do that? Do you ever feel like you set yourself up to fail?
No, like I'm the other way. Like never, I don't think. I will be really measured about, and it will be practical as well. Like, I'm not a dreamer.
No.
I'm more of a analytical statistics strategy.
You're the data dude, aren't you? You like data. And so goals are built on like realistic expectations of what's in front of you.
They're built on maths and science and trends and stuff. And that's the thing. When you set goals that are aligned to that, you can't really be unrealistic because it shows. It's like, oh, our next book's going to sell 1 million copies. No, it's not.
No.
Like, it definitely isn't. That's dreamland, mate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is so true. It's so true. I think that I used to suffer from this really badly. That's just one thing's popped in my head. This is when I was like in my 20s. I was at home. I was at my dad's house, my stepmom. And I don't know what. I was obviously trying to show off or get attention. I don't know what I was doing. But I announced at the dinner table that I'd decided that I was going to swim the channel.
Right.
That I was going to commit.
That's ridiculous.
To training, cold water training, and I was going to swim the channel and I was going to like set a record. Now, bearing in mind, I wasn't swimming at all. I had no experience. But not only was I convinced, I like said it out to everyone, this is what I was going to do. And obviously...
Look, it would have been physically possible, but like knowing you, I'm not sure you're a channel swimmer, babe.
No, it was an impossible goal to make myself feel like I was worth something, but actually then to just fail as another thing I've failed at, another thing I've quit. I did look into doing some cold water swims, but never made it.
Yeah.
So basically set, like, that's not to say don't dream. It's not to say don't believe in miracles or like epic stuff. Because awesome things can happen. If I was going on data, I never would have come back to music because, well, the data says you're too old and it's never worked the other 5 times you've tried it. So things can change, but don't shame yourself with a goal.
Yeah.
It's like me going, oh, what's your goal in music? To win a Grammy. It will never, ever happen. And you'll constantly suffer underneath that.
You used to live in that dream a lot, didn't you?
One day I'll win a Grammy. One day. It was like everything to me. And now it's like, I'd just like to sell out a gig and have a nice group of people that like the music.
Yeah. Okay. So number 7, attributing success to luck. So when things go well, rather than, I guess, acknowledge and recognize the hard work that you've put in to get there, it's like, well, that's really lucky. This one is a bit nuanced, I think, in my mind. So if I look at our ADHD love accounts, so I think they're like 5 million followers now across all platforms. And this is double-edged, I think. Like, we work really hard all the time, looking at all the data, looking at what people want us to create, listening to them, doing it, like constantly working. I can recognize we've worked really hard for that, but I can also recognize that our second rubbish video went viral. That was luck.
Yeah.
So like, there's a bit of both in there.
Yeah. I think it would be arrogant of someone to be like, it's all me.
Mm.
I did. It's the ability to see that it's multifaceted. Bit of luck, bit of hard work, bit of right place, right time. But the important bit when it comes to imposter syndrome is to say what you've said so easily, we work so hard.
Yeah.
So almost like we work so hard, so therefore that's why it makes sense that there's lots of followers in this community. When you're suffering with imposter syndrome, it's very hard to think that results are because of your hard work.
Yep.
I struggle with that hugely. I put it down to luck or the spiritual forces of the universe. Yeah. I can't look at myself and go, I'm here because I worked hard. It's strange. It almost feels arrogant to claim your hard work as any part of your success. But of course it does.
Good fit, like, even with music, with luck, there's I remember us having a conversation about your agents who are brilliant, like the agents that you've got, and you would very much be in a mindset of, they showed up to my first show, I'm so lucky to have agents,
yeah.
Which you were like that. Again, this is a bit like the social media, but now it's like, they're lucky to have you, but that's difficult for you to, you're lucky to have each other, let's
no,
say.
No, because I'm just like, I'm waiting to stop selling tickets and then they drop me. I constantly feel like I'm not good enough. It's imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. I shouldn't be here. I need to prove myself. I need to be perfect. Oh my God. What am I doing this episode, babe?
Right, number eight. Self-criticism.
Oh,
I touched on this earlier, Miss Subpar Singer. And like you've demonstrated it there without even having to explain it. You called Max a brilliant editor, me a good golfer, and you clouded your compliment with derogatory humour about yourself. I think you do it less, but you do. If you were to do it, it would be in the music world, not as an author or app developer. It would be as a music artist.
Look, it's tough because I do think that I'm kind of a subpar singer. I understand I'm walking right into imposter syndrome's open jaws. But I do. I'm not like, and I.
Oh, but it's no, crap. But I don't, I'm not even going to entertain this.
No, listen, listen. I'm a logical person. I have ears, I have eyes. I know the skills that I have got and I know the skills that other people have got. I'm not a great singer. I am a pretty decent songwriter and I'm a pretty decent conveyor of feeling emotions, normally sad, recently anger, but I'm not a great singer. And I don't mean it as being horrible. I'm just like, it's a realistic standard of where I'm at.
But what's interesting is that you identified yourself as a singer. Stop doing that then. Do it as an artist or a performer or whatever. All the things that you don't think you're rubbish at.
Fine.
Identify yourself as that, because that's what you are.
Pretty okay songwriter.
So it's crap. Like you're like, we're supposed to be telling people how to get better and you're this is rubbish, number eight. So I'm going to go straight on to number nine. All right. Avoiding growth. What?
That was great. I love this episode. Go on.
So avoiding growth, like all this time, all the things, you know, it's probably a concoction of everything that we've talked about before, but all the time you're thinking that you're an imposter or that you're lucky or that you're criticizing yourself, that is time taken away of growing. So it stunts your growth.
Yes. So all of this stuff, if you took all that energy and put it into developing your skill, whatever that is, that's a way better antidote for imposter syndrome. Like, it's so crazy that you're trapped in perfectionism, self-criticism. I'm too old. I'm too rubbish. It's not for me. It's not perfect. Just practice. What is the thing you're trying to do?
Yeah.
Go and practice it. Now, listen, you've had a go at me on number eight. It's fair enough. Hold my hands up.
I stand by it.
Big self-criticizer. But, yeah? Who's been going to singing lessons? Who's been trying to take the energy of feeling subpar and get better? At 41, I'm in doing singing lessons. So, yes, you can do both. I think you can be self-critical and you can notice it and you can go, I'm going to try and put that energy somewhere else. It doesn't fix overnight.
Yes. There's a bit of a but.
Go on.
Your singing lessons were all the logistics around booking you the sessions were done by the team. Good, great that you're showing up. Mm-hmm. But all I'm saying is that there'll be a bit of imposter syndrome, because would you have done it? Like, you do therapy, you'll research all the things, you'll physically book it, you'll physically turn up.
Do you know what?
I think there might have been some procrastination had you not had the support for...
I don't have imposter syndrome going to therapy. So I'm very confident being mentally unwell.
My number 10, comparison.
Yeah.
There's a saying in there, comparison is the thief of joy.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
I don't think you do this anymore. You used to scroll social media, see all the artists or singers that you would have wanted to be like, and it just, you just used to feel crap by the end of the scroll.
Yeah.
And now you don't really, do you?
Nope. I think the key to comparison is if you are looking on social media and you're feeling ashamed or jealous, envious of what someone else is doing, it might actually be a bit of a directional flag. Like, hey, is that art project, that comedy thing, that whatever it is that something you want to do? And actually, if you then just focus all your time on doing that, you won't have any time for comparison. And actually, you'll feel proud and inspired by what other people are doing because you realise how hard the actual work is.
And it's more fulfilling as well. So I like, people joke about, have you seen this thing on Insta or this thing on TikTok? And I'm like, no, I don't look it. And it's terrible to say, but I don't consume any of it. Like I obviously,
you watch video game, you watch video game content of Leno screaming in the other room. It's I'm glad you've got a passion. I am, but my God, it is like, it's horrible.
Great. It's just, you just like, you just watch, he's playing video games, playing Call of Duty.
So you don't, you don't crazy. Compare yourself to others.
No, no. That's it.
That's it.
10 things. Hope they have helped.
Yes.
Hopefully you don't relate to too many of them, but if you do, hopefully there's some ways that you can maybe...
I think if we had to sum up all, how do you move through all 10, is just do the thing. Be a bit cringe. Don't be perfect. Be a bit messy. Be a bit, just do the thing, whatever it is.
Yeah. Like everyone's out here pretending.
Everyone's out here pretending.
We're not social media influencers. No, we just two idiots film with a phone. Stuff on our phone and put it on the internet.
Two idiots with a phone. That should be the podcast.
If you've enjoyed it, leave a comment, share. What else they do? Subscribe. All of that sort of jive. If not, just move on.
Just move not on. Let you. Us know in the comments if you suffer with imposter syndrome and maybe one thing that you are going to do to try and get the thing done. Thanks for joining us and we'll see you next week.